Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 4th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks gain as the U.S. and China close in on a trade deal.
While trade tensions cool, the battle over Huawei's detained CFO heats up.
Plus, President Trump ramps up his attacks on the Federal Reserve.
We have a gentleman that likes raising interest rates in the Fed.
The president calling for policies that would lead to a weaker dollar.
The House Judiciary Committee will ramp up investigations related to President Trump, plus deadly tornadoes in Alabama. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer, and sports losses for the Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, and St. John's. Mets and Yankees won exhibition games. The Yanks hit 6 home runs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And global stocks are gaining as the U.S. and China inch closer to a trade deal, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 60, NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is little changed, CAC in Paris up 0.5%, the FTSE 100 is up about the same, Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.74%, yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 51 cents to $56.31 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $11 at $12.88.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1338 and the yen, 111.85. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest on U.S.-China trade talks. Bloomberg News has learned the sides are nearing a deal that would lift tariffs on Chinese goods. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Sources say the deal could happen as long as Beijing follows through on its pledges. Those pledges have to do with better protection on intellectual property rights and buying a significant amount of American products. One of the sticking points is whether the tariffs would be lifted immediately or over a period of time. And dates for a summit between President Trump and President Xi have not yet been agreed to, but is thought to be sometime this month. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. At Trade Talks in Focus, China also kicks off its biggest political event of the year this week, the National People's Congress. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has details from Beijing.
Premier Li Keqiang will kick off the event on Tuesday, outlining this year's priorities. Key will be the annual growth target. Economists expect it to be lowered to a range of 6 to 6.5%. Officials are scheduled to review a draft law protecting the intellectual property of foreign investors and banning forced tech transfers. Both are key U.S. demands in its trade tussle with China, of course, and will be closely watched. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg.
All right, Tom, thank you. And Bloomberg News has learned China is planning a tax cut to support its slowing economy, which could be announced this week at the National People's Congress.
Now, the word of Beijing and Washington getting closer to a trade deal helped lift stocks across Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese stocks led the gains in the region, the Shanghai Composite closing above 3,000 points for the first time since June. The index was up over 1% on the close to 3,027 points, an eight-month high. The index has now climbed 23% since its January 3 low. A drop in the yen boosted Japanese equities, with the Nikkei 225 firmer by 1% on the close. Markets in Hong Kong, Sydney and Singapore also gained, but fell in Seoul and Taipei. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sal, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Those equity losses in Seoul and Taipei came after ugly PMI data out of South Korea and Taiwan. Both countries had factory PMIs fall deeper into contraction territory. South Korea's reading for June came in at 47.2, while Taiwan's fell to 46.3.
Well, while we have progress in U.S.-China trade talks, the battle over detained Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou is heating up. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Nate. Huawei is going on the offensive. The Chinese electronics giant is preparing to sue the United States. That's according to the New York Times. And in a separate action, the CFO is suing Canada, alleging she was wrongfully detained and searched in that country. The Times says the U.S. suit is part of a broad push by Huawei to defend itself against a campaign led by the U.S. to undermine the company. In a Canadian suit, the CFO claims her constitutional rights were breached and is seeking damages for an ordeal she says amounted to false imprisonment. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Meanwhile, President Trump renewed his attacks on the Federal Reserve over the weekend.
We have a gentleman that likes raising interest rates in the Fed. We have a gentleman that loves quantitative tightening in the Fed.
Speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland, the president also blamed the Fed for a strong U.S. dollar.
I want a strong dollar, but I want a dollar that's going to be great for our country. Not a dollar that's so strong that it is prohibitive for us to be dealing with other nations and taking their business.
But if history is any guide, the president's comments won't do much to move the greenback. The dollar is slightly stronger this morning.
Well, the pound is slightly stronger as well. In the UK, as lawmakers move towards supporting Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal, Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Theresa May furiously trying to build a coalition then that can support a revised deal. The Sunday Times newspaper reporting that Brexit hardliners have handed May a new list of demands for that revised agreement, and it looks a lot easier to achieve than the last one. The Prime Minister has promised to put a tweak deal to another vote by March the 12th, and that probably means a text will be presented by the end of this week. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. And on the corporate front, shares of Tesla higher by 1.5% in early trading. The move comes as CEO Elon Musk says the company will unveil its Model Y crossover vehicle in less than 2 weeks. Tesla's shares ended last week on a sour note, falling nearly 8% Friday when the company announced store closures and employee layoffs. Musk also said he doesn't expect Tesla to turn a profit in the first quarter. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 26. And the euro at $1.1339. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City public schools are closed because of a winter storm. For now, a state of emergency remains in effect in New Jersey. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, low pressure is pulling away from the area. The precipitation has ended across much of the tri-state area and will continue to move off to the east. The weather conditions around the region will improve. We'll actually see the sun coming out this morning, and that's going to help a lot with the roads. Sun is much stronger this time of year. Once it gets a chance to get to the pavement, it's going to have tendency to melt any of the snow on the paved surfaces and then dry them off. So I think folks are going to have a much easier time in the tri-state area getting home than they will getting to work this morning. And the remainder of the week looks quiet. Cold weather, but lots of sunshine. Michael?
Thanks, Rob. At least 23 people are dead in Alabama after what's believed to be an F3 tornado roared through Lee County. One of the twisters was about a half a mile wide. Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones.
Contents of one residence, we know for a fact, was located over 1,000 yards away. So we've got a very wide storm track that went through the area.
The House Judiciary Committee plans to issue document requests to more than 60 people as investigations begin into obstruction of justice, corruption, and abuse of power related to President Trump. Chairman Gerald Nadler says President Trump was directly implicated in various crimes in House testimony last week by former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen.
The Republicans spent 2 years shielding the president from any proper accountability. They threatened to impeach people in the Justice Department. They threatened the Mueller investigation.
Meanwhile, Republican House members say the Democrats had every intention of going after President Trump even before the Cohen hearings. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Nobody else in any history would do this to a president when they're overseas, to try to discredit him just because they dislike him and put their dislike ahead of the country. Look, they're picking circus over a solution.
Both McCarthy and Nadler spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, one thing almost certain about the Yankees in 2019, they will hit a ton of home runs. They hit a major league record 267 of them last season. And in Tampa yesterday, Brett Gardner and Aaron Judge began the game with back-to-back home runs and both homered again later on. Gary Sanchez hit one, six homers in all, a 7-1 win over Detroit. Masahiro Tanaka, very sharp in three scoreless innings. Mets over the Cardinals, 10-8 in Port St. Lucie. Zach Wheeler gave up three runs. Knicks never in it in L.A. The Clippers at 82 points by halftime, and they cruised over David Fizdale's Knicks, 128-107.
We was not ready to play. For whatever reason, these early games have been we're not either getting rest or we're not mentally preparing, but we wasn't ready to play in that first half. You know, obviously, I'm proud of the way we came out and battled in the second half. That was the goal coming into the second half, was to win the half quarter by quarter, and we did that.
But it's the Knicks' 50th loss of the season. Rangers in a shootout at the Garden with Washington. It was ruled that goalie Alexander Georgiev threw his stick as Alex Ovechkin was coming in. That gave the Caps a 3-2 win, and the defending Stanley Cup champs move into first place ahead of the Islanders, who lost at the Coliseum to Philadelphia 4-1. St. John's wants 14-1. The Red Storm just 6-9 since. Two losses to DePaul. In Chicago, Max Strus, 43 points, 36 in the second half as DePaul won 92-83. Shimori Pons at 29 for St. John's. Manhattan beat Quinnipiac. They'll never forget Nick Foles in Philadelphia. He won them their only Super Bowl while filling in for Carson Wentz. But Foles, now a free agent, will reportedly sign with Jacksonville. The Jags clearly needed a QB upgrade. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Taking a look at the markets ahead of the open, futures are pointed higher with S&P futures down, are up 5.5 points. Dow futures ahead by 51, NASDAQ futures up about 25 points. Price of the 10-year up 3/32, the yield at 2.74%, 2-year treasuries at 2.55%. NYMEX crude up 0.75% or 42 cents to $56.22 a barrel. The euro at $1.1341, the pound at $1.3220. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 61. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 38 cents to $56.18 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $10.70 to $12.88.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1340. The yen, 111.84. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the death toll is now at 23 from a large tornado that devastated an Alabama community. Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones says it's possible the death toll could continue to rise, but authorities paused the search efforts overnight because conditions are too dangerous in the dark due to massive amounts of debris. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Rangers in a shootout 3-2. The Islanders lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:19 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time now to get you set up for the trading day and the week ahead. And joining us here in New York, Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News in London, senior executive editor Heather Harris, and in Beijing, we're pleased to have managing editor Emma O'Brien. Joe, let's start with you. What's the deal with the trade deal?
Well, it looks like they're it looks like they're getting closer to a deal. People have been optimistic for a while if they're going to get a deal. All the mood music has been positive. Markets have been expecting one ever since Trump announced that the tariff hikes would be delayed. Still nothing official, but some sort of combination of increased purchases of U.S. goods and more rigorous intellectual property protections for U.S. companies in exchange for no tariffs and a reduction of the 10% tariffs that already exist. Still lots of questions on timing and whether the tariffs would go away all at once or phased out. You know, with this president, and you just have to look at the recent summit in Hanoi, nothing is done until it's done.
Okay. Emma, let's go to you. The electronics giant Huawei is going on the offensive.
That's right. The lawsuits are flying thick and fast from the Chinese side. Mengwan Zhou, this is Huawei's CFO and the daughter of founder Liang Hua, is suing the Canadian authorities, saying her arrest at the end of last year breached her constitutional rights there. Meng says that she was detained and questioned under the guise of a routine immigration and customs case, and that opportunity was used to unlawfully compel her to provide evidence and information. She also alleges that they questioned her before arresting her on the warrant for sanctions violations as a way of getting around the constitution. She's seeking damages, saying the ordeal amounted to false imprisonment. Meanwhile, though, the company itself also preparing to sue the U.S. government, according to the New York Times. This is for banning its agencies from using its products.
Okay, Heather, in London, let's see, what should we talk about? Oh, yeah, Brexit. What's the latest?
Yeah, I'm afraid you've got at least another 25 days to be talking about Brexit. That's the number of days until the UK is at least supposed to leave the European Union. It's another week where Theresa May will be trying to get both sides of the spectrum on board with a possible deal. She's faced a criticism for opposition from her opposers today because she's handing out £1.6 billion, that's $2.1 billion, for poorer areas in the north. People are accusing her of trying to buy Brexit votes by doing that from Labour MPs. On the other side, she sent her Attorney General to Brussels to try and water down the Irish backstop that they're also opposed to.
Okay, only 25 days left. Joe, if the economy doesn't go Donald Trump's way, no problem. There's always a scapegoat, right?
Yeah, so obviously Donald Trump has been criticizing the Federal Reserve for a long time, and there are essentially two different ways to see this. So one is maybe he has a genuine interest in monetary policy, and he really believes in a different path and no hikes and a weaker dollar. The other possibility is that if the economy turns down, and because, you know, eventually economies do and you never really know when they're going to, he can say, I've been warning for a long time. I called it right again, and it wasn't anything I did, and it wasn't trade, and it wasn't tariffs, and it wasn't the tax cuts, and it wasn't anything else, and it wasn't erratic policy in D.C. It was the Fed, and I told you. So it's kind of a nice little rhetorical insurance policy to have been criticizing the Fed for so long.
Okay, and who nominated him again?
I can't remember.
Heather, rate hike. Oh, forget that. The European Central Bank center stage this week.
That's right. So obviously there have been quite a series of really grim data coming out of Europe that have economists questioning, was the ECB right to sort of take the QE rug away from the economy late last year? They are going to expect it to be discussing their long-term loans, perhaps could provide some stimulus that way, but we don't think that's going to happen until April at this point. And there are some green shoots. There are some upsides if you look for them, particularly on the domestic side of the economy, on employment data. It may be, as the trade deal looks to be close, that the impact Europe's faced from the trade tensions may actually be bottoming out now.
Okay, Emma, next. Everybody likes a tax cut, even the Chinese.
Yeah, that's right. China is planning to cut VAT, or value-added tax. This is the rate specifically that covers the manufacturing sector, obviously a very powerful and big sector here in China. They're proposing to cut it by 3 percentage points, according to a person that our reporters spoke to, familiar with the situation. And it's part of measures that they've been rolling out over the past couple of months to support the slowing economy. Now, this move, if it comes to pass, would help corporate profits at a time when the economy is facing pressure from both the U.S. trade war and the impact of a domestic debt cleanup here. Okay. Morgan Stanley's done a little bit of number crunching, and they say a 3 percentage point cut to VAT would deliver a boost of up to $90 billion or 0.6% of GDP.
So Joe, finally, you have a job. I have a job. I think my cat could get a job if Mr. Whiskers wanted one. Give me 20 seconds on that.
The labor market is looking strong, and we get another jobs report this Friday, and it's expected to be really good. And obviously, people will be watching that wage number closely to see if it's actually getting tight.
Joe Wiesenthal, head of America's News Desk for Bloomberg News here in New York. And Heather Harris joined us from London, and Emma O'Brien from Beijing this morning. S&P futures right now pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. Right now, up 6 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Optimism on trade has stocks rising around the world to begin the trading week. Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. and China are close to an agreement that could lift tariffs on Chinese goods. We get the details from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The Chinese want these tariffs lifted immediately as part of this deal. The U.S. are pushing back, saying that we want to have it phased in as part of the deal process. So those discussions continue, but the fact that the U.S. are considering very seriously removing the tariffs altogether, or at least in large part, is seeming to be the element that is juicing the markets today.
And as part of a possible deal, China would follow through on pledges ranging from better intellectual property rights protection to buying significant amounts of U.S. products.
Meanwhile, the battle over detained Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou is heating up, with the Chinese executive suing Canadian authorities. Bloomberg's Peter Elstrom reports.
What she's saying is that she was taken into custody at about 11 o'clock in the morning and then held for 3 hours by border security. They asked her questions without a lawyer present. They went through her electronics. They asked for her passwords and then dug into what she had. And what her lawyers are alleging is that she should have been arrested right away, which would have triggered her ability to get a lawyer, to talk with her friends, and also to not answer questions.
And another news item on Huawei this morning, the New York Times is reporting the Chinese company plans to sue the U.S. government for banning the use of Huawei products.
Bloomberg News has learned China is planning a tax cut to support its slowing economy. The reduction could be announced as soon as this week when political leaders gather in Beijing for the National People's Congress.
Well, here in the U.S., President Trump is renewing his assault on the Fed.
We have a gentleman that likes raising interest rates in the Fed.
In a speech to conservatives over the weekend, the president criticized Chairman Jerome Powell for policies that lead to a strong dollar, which he says hurts business.
And on the corporate front, shares of Tesla are more than 1%. CEO Elon Musk says the company will unveil its Model Y crossover in less than 2 weeks. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.74%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 35 cents to $56.15 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8%, down $10.80 to $12.88.40 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City public schools are closed today because of a winter storm. The good news is that the system has pretty much moved off to the east, but the cleanup continues. And that will lead to a slippery morning commute. Later today, the sun will come out and help clear the roads. At least 23 people are dead after the National Weather Service says a powerful tornado with at least an F3 rating and a track at least a half mile wide caused the deadly destruction in Alabama. Authorities say the tornado hit southern areas of Lee County. This woman who lives in Lee County says as soon as she heard the warning sirens, she knew what she had to do.
Grab my dog and went and got in the closet, and I'm sitting there holding the door just in case because it didn't close all the way. And a few minutes later, that's when I can hear all the wind and the house moving. And then next thing I know, I can smell pine. So I knew something was in the house.
Multiple tornadoes were also reported in Georgia. The U.S. and South Korea agreed to end their biggest annual joint military drills in a bid to ease tensions with North Korea. The move comes just days after President Trump and Kim Jong-un failed to reach an agreement on denuclearization at a summit in Vietnam. Investigations into the dealings of Donald Trump will begin to ramp up today in the House of Representatives. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is Gerald Nadler, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, plans to issue requests for information from more than 60 people.
This investigation goes far beyond collusion. We've seen all the democratic norms that we depend on for democratic government attacked by the administration.
Nadler saying they will include Donald Trump Jr. and Alan Weisselberg, Trump Organization CFO. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Trump ally, says Democrats have already reached their conclusion.
He talks about impeachment before he even became chairman, and then he says you've got to persuade people to get there.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, Mr. Trump delivered a two-hour-plus rousing speech-slash-tirade, including attacks against the investigations. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, losses mount for the Knicks and Rangers. The Knicks' 50th setback of the season. They were beaten in L.A. by the Clippers 128-107. This game was 82-46 at halftime. Rangers at the guard lost to Washington 3-2 in a shootout. Alex Ovechkin had the winning goal, scored because Rangers goalie Alexander Georgiev, it was ruled through his stick. And the Capitals now in first place ahead of the Islanders, who lost at the Coliseum to Philadelphia 4-1. St. John's lost at DePaul 92-83. The Red Storm led by 9 at the half and then lost the game by 9. Max Strus, 43 points for DePaul. Spring training, Yankees hit 6 home runs in a 7-1 win over Detroit. Brett Gardner and Aaron Judge both hit 2. They began the game with back-to-back solo shots. Aroldis Chapman made his spring debut. His first pitch was hit out for a Tigers home run. Mets over the Cardinals in Port St. Lucie 10-8. Dom Smith trying to make the team. He had 3 hits, 4 RBIs. No secret, the Jacksonville Jaguars desperately needed a new quarterback. Reportedly, they'll sign free agent Nick Foles, who, of course, won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. What about the Giants? Will they draft a QB with the 6th pick? Like Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins.
Growing up in New Jersey, I grew up a Giants fan, so it would be a dream come true as far as being able to go back home where my family is and play for that great franchise. A lot of, you know, really great skilled players. So either way that happens throughout this process, I'm just going to be excited to be in the NFL. So New York would be a great spot for me.
Haskins spoke at the scouting combine in Indianapolis. He played his high school football outside of D.C., threw 50 touchdown passes for the Buckeyes last season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashell. Nathan.
Thank you, John. The nation's airports are sorely in need of upgrades, and one Democratic lawmaker thinks he's found a way to pay for them. Nancy Lyons has more on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The airports have released a tally of their infrastructure needs.
Over the next 5 years, they're going to need $128 billion in infrastructure funds to meet the backlog.
Bloomberg government Sean Courtney says the top aviation authorizer in the House, Democrat Rick Larson, wants to increase the cap on airport upgrade fees that are tacked on to every ticket.
Currently, the cap is at $4.50, and not every airport can even go up to that amount, but he's proposing raising that to $8.50.
The airports like the idea, but airlines don't. The goal is to get something through the House this spring. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. It's coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The Trump administration's latest idea to lower prescription drug prices is to eliminate the rebates that drug companies pay to pharmacy benefit managers. This is easily the most radical change to the American drug pricing system the White House has proposed. The change wouldn't necessarily lower drug prices, but it's worth Congress's consideration, because rebates distort prices and work against a transparent and competitive market, which would be the best way to get prices down. Ideally, the change should be part of a larger initiative to reform drug pricing. Congress and the White House should work together to move the U.S. toward a simpler system in which prices are transparent and government bargaining power is used to see that the prices Americans pay reflect the true medical value of drugs. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Big oil could well end up beating electric utilities at their own game in the competition to charge battery-powered cars. The world's major oil companies may have a better chance to build a charging network for electric cars because of their sheer size and the number of sites they control through existing gas stations. That view is set out in a report by S&P Global Ratings. Around the world, electric utilities are banking on new revenue from powering EVs. They're seeking to make up for slower growth in their traditional business of generating power. Millions of recharging stations will be needed globally in the future, and S&P analysts figure building out the charging infrastructure market of electric cars could require as much as $350 billion a year in the next decade. The report points to several factors that favor big oil: their existing retail base, diversification in power generation and supply, and significant financial means. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And just crossing the Bloomberg terminal moments ago, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper says he will join the large field of Democrats competing to challenge President Trump in 2020. In his announcement video released this morning, Hickenlooper says he's stood up to his fair share of bullies, but has proven again and again that he can bring people together to produce the progressive change he says Washington has failed to deliver. That record of bipartisanship stands in contrast with a polarized electorate and a desire among progressives in the Democratic Party for confrontation over cooperation. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we'll have more on what's happening in the nation's capital, including investigations against President Trump, perhaps just beginning. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with us next on Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing as U.S. and China are said to be close to a trade deal. Dow futures currently up 75 points. S&P's gain 8, while the Nasdaq climbs by 33. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.74%. Shanghai rose 1% overnight and closed above the 3,000 level, while European markets are also higher, led by gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, construction spending. And regarding earnings today, Salesforce reports after the bell. In other news, Eli Lilly to introduce lower-priced insulin. And Leerink said that Acadia Healthcare is a likely takeout candidate. In deal news, Biogen to buy Nightstar Therapeutics for $25.50 a share. And wrapping things up, Bed Bath & Beyond was downgraded to underweight at Barclays. Xilinx was downgraded to market perform at BMO. Dillard's downgraded to underweight at J.P. Morgan. And finally, Kraft Heinz was upgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley with a price target of $35. Live from the First to Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the search will resume at dawn for any survivors after a deadly F3 tornado ripped through Lee County, Alabama yesterday. At least 23 people were killed. The House Judiciary Committee plans to issue document requests to more than 60 people today as investigations begin into obstruction of justice, corruption, and abuse of power related to President Trump. Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper announced this morning that he's running for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Rangers in a shootout 3-2. The Islanders lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where President Trump may need to brace for even more scrutiny after last week's testimony from his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. New York Democrat Gerald Nadler chairs the House Judiciary Committee, and he tells ABC's This Week his panel will send document requests today to more than 60 people in the president's inner circle. Whether it leads to impeachment, Nadler says, remains to be seen.
Before you impeach somebody, you have to persuade the American public that it ought to happen. You have to persuade enough of the opposition party voters, or the Trump voters.
He talks about impeachment before he even became chairman, and then he says you've got to persuade people to get there. There's nothing that the president did wrong. And what was most...
Nothing?
Well, in this process to be impeached, show me where the president did anything to be impeached.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on the same program. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff tells CBS Face the Nation there's already evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
In the emails from the Russians through their intermediary, offering dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of what is described in writing as the Russian government effort to help elect Donald Trump.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan tells NBC's Meet the Press he doesn't see evidence of Trump campaign collusion.
But there is all kinds of evidence to show that the Clinton campaign worked with Russians to impact the elections via that whole thing I just described, where they hired the Perkins Coie law firm, who hired Fusion, who hired a foreigner, Christopher Steele, who communicated with Russians and put together the fake dossier.
And White House National Security Advisor John Bolton went on two Sunday programs to defend President Trump's summit with Kim Jong-un in Hanoi. He tells Fox News Sunday the president didn't see it as a failure.
He thought progress had been made. He thought that there were still negotiations that were possible. I would say the North Koreans were very disappointed we didn't buy their bad deal. You know, that's life in the big city.
And on the president taking Kim Jong-un at his word that he didn't know about the torture of American college student Otto Warmbier, Bolton tells Face the Nation.
The president's been very clear. He viewed what happened to Otto Warmbier as barbaric and unacceptable. And I think the best thing North Korea could do right now would be to come up with a full explanation of exactly what happened to him.
And that's just some of the conversation from the political talk shows you hear every Sunday here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is here with me now. Lots to get to. So little time. Kate, let's start with Congressman Nadler's comments. More than 60 document requests going out today. The investigations are on.
Absolutely. And I think this is a not surprising follow-up to what happened last week when Michael Cohen came to the Hill to testify. I think now that sort of kind of waved the flag and launched the starting gun to get these investigations, particularly by the Judiciary Committee, which is the committee that significantly would have oversight over any impeachment proceedings, to kind of get those document requests going. There were a number of issues that Cohen raised related to Trump's actions in the White House, Trump's interaction with his son, who was also on his campaign, and also the actions of the Trump Organization. And so I think that those are the areas where we're likely to see Nadler focus his document requests and his efforts to get more additional information about, you know, what exactly went on.
Interesting, though, to hear Nadler say that impeachment is still a long ways off, that, you know, you have to persuade the American people and even Republicans that step needs to be taken. Where does this go from here?
Well, I think that Nadler's comments, particularly about persuading folks, really just kind of underscore a reality that people often forget, which is that impeachment is a political exercise. It's not a legal exercise. You know, it is done in the Congress, and all it takes is a number of votes, and the Congress, a certain number of votes, and the Congress has, you know, very broad latitude to determine what would be an impeachable offense. And so I think that that is what Nadler is essentially referencing, is saying that, you know, even if there's all the evidence in the world against Trump, and not to say that there would be, but even if there is, that it would take, you know, a certain number of votes, that it becomes at some point a process of counting noses and determining how many votes there are for impeachment. And so I think that that is part of, you know, what the task that he would face as Judiciary Chairman, if they do decide to go down that route, would be to convince folks, not just on this panel, but in the House more broadly, that come from all different parts of the country, that that would be the right approach. And I think that the point that he was making more broadly is that that approach starts with gathering evidence, which is what they're doing now.
But if the focus becomes even more on investigations on the Democratic side, do they run the risk of having that just sort of take up all the oxygen as opposed to some of the policy initiatives they want to put forward this year?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that is certainly a risk that Democrats face. And, you know, they also face, from a political standpoint, the risk of backlash, that people feel like they came out of the gate too strongly gunning for Trump and trying to, you know, manufacture essentially an impeachment argument when one didn't exist. So I think that's why we're seeing Democrats trying to sort of look as though they're not overeager on this front. But certainly it does take a toll in terms of, putting their policy initiatives on the back burner. But I think the important thing to remember there is that Democrats, while they do control the House and have a lot more power than they did 6 months ago, they still don't control the Senate or the White House. So the reality is that they're not likely to get a lot of their policy initiatives enacted until they gain control of one or both of those entities, which I think is partly what they think pursuing these investigations from Trump with about Trump could help them achieve.
Got to touch on the breaking news this morning. Another Democrat entering the field, already crowded. Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, the latest name to throw his hat in.
Yeah, there's getting to be a shortage of space in the room. It's a whole lot of folks who have tossed their hat into the ring. But I think what's interesting about Hickenlooper to keep in mind is that he's someone that a lot of the other real high-profile names, people like Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, they hail from the more liberal wing of the party. Bernie Sanders, obviously. Hickenlooper is someone who represented, a purple, formerly red state of Colorado, and someone that really just kind of is more from the centrist wing of the party and has made his political reputation on building bridges with Republicans and, being someone who governs from the center, more like from the ilk of Bill Clinton. And so I think that in some ways characterizes it or, distinguishes him from the rest of the field so far.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, lots to watch as always. Thanks for joining us. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
U.S. small businesses are feeling the impact of trade tariffs. A National Federation of Independent Business survey of a random sample of its members finds 40% reporting a negative impact. Bill Dunkelberg is the group's chief economist.
So there's pain, and it's not just with the big firms, it's with the little firms, and it's especially concentrated in agriculture and transportation, wholesaling, and, of course, construction. Lumber prices are higher, add 8% to the price of a house now. And manufacturing, of course, they have to buy a lot of inputs that are impacted by the tariffs.
The negative impacts do include the rising costs of inputs, a reduced availability of needed inputs, higher selling prices needed to cover tariff costs, and wasted time and effort required to reorganize supply chains. The NFIB says in its findings that uncertainty surrounding trade policy will also contribute to slower economic growth. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. Other stories we were following this morning, Eli Lilly introducing a new version of insulin at half the cost as drug makers grapple with growing political criticism over the price of the life-saving treatment for diabetes. Lilly saying today it'll start selling a lower price version of its Humalog for $137.35 a vial. Futures this morning are moving higher, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.